There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. The Las Culturistas calling.
We are bathed in the morning light.
We've been doing this series of morning time on Tuesday mornings to get you that episode fresh on Wednesday with all the latest, hippest, cutting-edge culch that you deserve, readers.
Did you ever catch those commercials for that store Tuesday morning that Lauren Bacall would do?
No.
Like a somewhat older Lauren Bacall. This was after
High Point Coffee?
High Point Coffee. Way after High Point Coffee.
So after she was already a commercial icon.
Absolutely.
My favorite time of day is night.
What is it about the High Point Coffee commercials? It's just that she's like delivering with such vim.
Gusto.
Just like,
yeah.
It's coffee, but there's no caffeine in it. High Point is just decaf, right?
To be honest with you, I don't know much about High Point. And you know that I learned about this commercial on this podcast.
Yes.
On Greta Teitelman's first episode. I didn't even know about this. And then it was a culture untold, which is most alluring type of culture.
Oh, is that potential early title of ep contender? Culture untold. Now, let me just do a quick Google. Yes, Tuesday morning. She's in the back of a limo with her dog in her lap sometimes, or she's just sitting on a couch just being like, that's why I go to Tuesday morning.
See,
what?
You're getting exactly as advertised with Ms. Mama. You know, she shows up, Ms. Lauren Bacall is going to give you Grand Dame in the cleanest, most official sense.
Yes, I think she is the model for Grand Dame in a lot of ways. And we need to actually broaden our scope sometimes when it comes to culture. I think if you listen to this podcast, Rita's Katie's Publicist Finalist, you know that our point of view is as very specifically gay millennials. We're not going to know too much about stuff before, and we're not going to know
now,
too
that's
much
not
after.
Necessarily true, because sometimes you whip out some facts, and I'm going to pat myself on the back enough to say sometimes I whip out some facts
from yesteryear. Absolutely. Yes.
Don't pass the ball on to me, honey. You're one half of Culturistas. What's your favorite fact of yesteryear? What is your favorite cultural fact of yesteryear? Go on.
Well, I'm on the spot now. My favorite cultural fact of yesteryear?
Yes, of any fact.
Well, I'm still obsessed with this whole thing. Speaking of Lauren Bacall, Slim Keith discovered her, I think.
Mm-hmm. Are you still watching Feud? Is this something you've really put into action as per your research?
I'm no longer. I was mostly motivated to consume as much Truman Capote material as possible with the hopes that I would get to do him on Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was always the goal, and I'm being transparent about it. And now I don't think I'll keep watching that show, even though I really commend.
Well, honestly, you have seen more than enough clearly because you bodied Truman. You really embodied.
Thank you, girl.
I just wish I was there to play Slim.
To destroy me.
No, I would have been an excellent babe. Like, just shaking in a corner, like Naomi Watson all over the place.
I do love Naomi in that show.
You do?
I'm very happy to see Naomi back in action. Weren't you?
Well, she never really left. You know, I just think the thing with Darling Nay is she often picks a project that's like, Darling Nay, why this? Like, remember her Netflix? She had like she had like a sexy thriller on Netflix, which, by the way, I tried to watch Mea Culpa.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, it was unreal.
It was unreal.
It's just how boring it is. But there's a show on Netflix that fully starred Naomi Watts and Billy Crudup.
The two most beautiful people in the world?
Gypsy is what it was called. Okay, Gypsy was an American drama thriller series created by Lisa Rubin for Netflix. Naomi Watts stars as Jean Holloway, a psychologist who secretly infiltrates the private lives of her patients. Yeah, so I think the way she, this psychologist is like a kooky lady, the way she thinks she can help her patients is by like getting involved in their lives.
See, of all the things with the name and title Gypsy, which we can't even get into, just like the weirdness, we've just accepted Gypsy as this like name of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And you know what else I'm reading in this Wikipedia? Stevie Nicks re-recorded an acoustic version of her Fleetwood Mac song Gypsy to serve as the show's theme song.
I'm sure it didn't deserve that.
Not only is this using the word Gypsy, it got Stevie back in the booth for one season.
But to reconfigure one of her best songs for the show that I guess no one remembers, that's really sad to me. And I don't know, of all the things named Gypsy, that's, you have to come in with a strongness.
A strength.
If you're going to have a title Gypsy. What year did this come out in?
This came out recently. This was 2017.
Oh, okay. Well, like 8 years ago.
I guess that's, wow, is that not recent?
7 years ago.
2017-2018 is a tough era for me, vis-a-vis deciding if that was just recently.
I love your silent S's on vis-a-vis.
Is it not supposed to be vis-a-vis?
It should be vis-a-vis. You can say it however you want.
Well, who says?
The French.
In the words of Selena Gomez.
Who says?
Yeah. Have you heard Selena's new song, Love On?
I have not.
Wait till I turn my love on. Wait till. It's crazy. She and I really do share a brain, I think. Like, that's the song I would write.
Really? Really?
Why are we conversing over this steak tartare when we could be? That's one of the lines. Wait, hold on. I want to read the lyrics to you because you're going to love this. Okay. Love On lyrics. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Why are we conversing over this steak tartare when we could be somewhere other than here making out in the back of a car or in the back of a bar? Or we could make a memoir, yeah, on the back wall of the last stall in the bathroom at the bazaar.
The bazaar has the bathroom with stalls? I don't know about that. I don't think the bazaar has plumbing.
I know about it. Honestly, these are lyrics. I very rarely listen to people who cannot sing. I listen to singers and I listen to writers. And we love Selena. She continues to release songs.
I'm sorry. I sometimes would rather be conversing over steak tartare with someone instead of making out with him in the back of a car.
Depends
who. When was the last time you made out with someone in the back of a car?
Wow, that's a really good question. And I never was one of those people that liked making out in Ubers. Like, it actually really makes me feel very uncomfortable for the driver.
Me too.
I don't like when people act in a manner that would suggest that person that's driving us isn't there. Because it's just simply not true. Like, and you're in their car, you're in their space. They're providing a service for you that, like...
I know. You're getting their car dirty. Their office dirty.
Well, I don't get things dirty around me when I make out in them. I don't really know. Pigpen over here.
I just mean, like, you're being a little sloppy. And it's beautiful. I'm not saying there's anything gross about two people kissing.
I think there is sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You ever see people kissing? You're like, ew.
Oh, wait, I can answer this question. I had a recent thing where it was, and I wasn't proud of this, and I kind of felt pressured into it.
What, making out in the back of a car?
Yes, and I'm not saying this was, like, nothing was violatory, but it was, So Kyle Mooney used to have this stretch limo that would come and that would be his car after every show.
I've heard of the legend of this.
And
yeah.
At the Christmas show, I think for some reason, like it's been a couple seasons since Kyle's been on and the stretch limo has been sort of out of rotation. But for some reason at the Christmas show this year, the stretch limo showed up again. And then our lovely transpo coordinator after the show was like, Bo, do you want the limo tonight? I was like, I was with Jared and our friend, and it was basically like, we were like, let's take the limo. And it was such a funny vibe. And then on the way home, Jared took his own car home. Then I had someone who lived by me. Someone kind of glommed onto the limo because they were like, I live by you. Can I hitch a ride? I was like, yes, I have a stretch limo, please.
Uh-huh.
And then one thing led to another. And then on the way back, like it was driver roll up the partition, please, which we'll get back to. Because the year is 2013.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, things started happening. And I was like, wait, this feels crazy. And not even in, like, a fun, sexy, dangerous way. Like, things happened in the back of the limo. And I was like, it was fun. I don't feel icky or bad or anything. But I was thinking about the driver.
But you just know that someone was on the other side of the partition, please. And that made you feel self-conscious.
A little bit.
Yeah. I think that's totally fair.
Right?
I mean, look, I just know... Well, one time I was told by an Uber driver one time, no romance.
Oh.
And that made me feel, well, first of all, I never forgot that he said no romance in the backseat. Because then I picture what I was doing in the backseat as like being as so Rachel McAdams. Like I pictured myself like making out with whoever the fuck that was.
You're a bird, I'm a bird.
Just like looking so stunning, like my auburn locks, like in my hair. Like I've just
auburn.
My hair askew, like, but still in my eyes, you see the star quality. You know what I mean? Like very Rachel McAdams.
It's the poster for The Vow, that movie, The Vow.
And just like a couple buttons, like unbuttoned, like tousled, really. You know what I mean?
Oh
like me
God.
Just like sort of like in the back of a bazaar, like sort of just like being very sexy and, you know, just guys like being a sort of like
obsessed with me,
unable to resist me. And then I think about this guy, no romance. I'm like, oh shit. And ever since then, I've not been able to really connect to that part of me that is tousled Rachel McAdams in the back room of a bazaar. I just haven't been able to connect to her. And she lives inside me.
Well, except through Selena, obviously.
Well, thank God for Selena and her most recent releases, really, because I don't think I can ever feel sexy and flirty again until Selena Gomez released these songs. Something broke inside me, and only until recently when I heard Selena Kuthi's songs have I been ready to really tackle the world again in her releases.
Well, do you, by the way, I just want to quickly shout out a James Anderson, famous legendary SNL writer known for his insane names for characters. And one of my favorites is fictional name Rhonda Releasing. The last name Releasing.
Releasings. Releasings.
As the last name, if your last name is Releasings, that's incredible. How do you come up with that? But also, I think one way to heal, if Selena had not come out with these releases, one way you could have healed was if you had romance to the driver at some point. And you still can't.
I've never been able to pull that off either. I've never had the thing where like,
me
God,
neither.
I hooked up with my driver last night. So like, that's never, people talk like this happens.
I can't believe people do that. They're in a pornography.
These people need to get their heads out of the clouds and their bodies out of pornographic films.
Period.
Period. Have you ever, ever, ever felt like you've been in a situation where you could take it to the next level with any driver or delivery person or someone you encounter in a situation like that? I would feel just beside myself with worry that mm-hmm. this would go left.
Yeah, there's always the potential. I guess you and I are pretty like, oh yes, Anna, producer Anna is bringing up a great recent pop culture sort of bit, which is Sutton on Beverly Hills. She hooked up with her.
She made up with her driver. But that's like her driver that drives her all the time. Like some of these people out here will really say things like, oh yeah, I really got into it last night with my Uber driver. And I'm like, huh? Readers, if you've hooked up with an Uber driver, I want to know about it.
I want to know the play-by-play. Like, how, like, what? How did it build up? What was the aftercare?
My thing is just, like, I would always feel like it was, I guess it would be too inappropriate to be sexy for me right on the outset. Like one time years ago, an Uber driver asked me repeatedly if I liked sex. And I felt like it was awful and a violation from the second he started talking. So I couldn't even engage in whether or not he was attractive or not. Like that was not computing for me. I was like, I had an opening with an Uber driver one time and I was just like, fixated on the fact that it was my Uber driver. You know what I mean? I was like, just get me to and fro.
Yeah. Some people can maybe transcend the transaction of it all, or they like that, which I love. We're not here to shame that if it's...
Get your nut off wherever, in the back of a bazaar, in the back of a car, wherever Selena Gomez could rhyme. I want you to fuck there if you feel empowered to do it.
I couldn't even do it in a stall, to be honest. Speaking of Selena.
Because not for nothing, but I'm not great at having sex standing up.
Right.
Let's just say it's not my angle.
I want some cushioning. That's all.
Yeah. Are we proud members of the starfish community?
I'm a huge starfish. Although I'm known to move. I'm known to lead.
Known to get a little spry.
But I love starfishing. Absolutely.
I don't think anyone here, meaning the two of us, doesn't love starfishing. I mean, like, I think you'd be lying to say you didn't enjoy a little starfish action now and then. But sometimes, you know, it depends on who I am that night. What persona I am sort of putting on. Because sexually, I can be so many different people. I really can.
So it sounds like your driver could have really known about all this. It's a simple question, really.
It's a simple question, really.
Do you like sex? Well, do you?
What is that from, you absolute menace?
I don't know.
You are a menace.
What do you mean?
You are. You have a menace. Explain. You are a menace. I have known this.
Explain. I don't know about this. I am leaning into trickster energy. I want to be a trickster.
I don't know what your vibe is today, but you got on the Zoom and you've been a menace all morning.
I have done nothing of the sort.
Are you returning to your improv roots?
I'm returning to my improv roots. Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson are doing Bell House improv shows, 3 improv shows. It's the two of them plus a guest every month. I'm sure you're going to do one with them sometime.
No,
as well.
Because I think that, well, we'll talk about that.
I have the same hangups about improv. Like, it's so funny. It's like, it was my first love. And now it's like truly an ex I've forgotten about for years on purpose.
Yeah, and it's like if it's an ex, if you saw again, you'd be like, oh, like it would be like a whole thing. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I saw improv again tonight. That was so weird. It really brought me back.
So weird. Improv like is jogging and looks really healthy, but not good. Does that make sense?
The thing about you though with improv is you had like a long-term relationship with improv, and I think you guys broke up in a way that was very healthy, and like you agreed that the relationship was good for you. Me and improv like had bad sex 5 times and just kept trying, and now it's like we see each other and it's just like, hey, and I just feel like I'm such a better, different version I was when I was having sex with improv and it didn't go well, that I almost feel like I feel like I have something to prove to improv, but like I don't. Like I've done so many other sexual activities with so many other like artistic outlets. Yeah. And like I feel like I've really had like fulfilling relationships outside of improv, but there's something about like I do want to fuck improv and like have it be mind blowing.
That's not what it's about. Improv is not that good at improv. I think what happened stuck too many fingers in you at the same time.
I think my problem was I said too many fingers were okay. And that's the difference. And that's the accountability I'm going to take. The accountability I'm going to take is I knew I couldn't handle 3 fingers in my hole from improv at 19 years old. I should have known that.
But I think this is what happened, Matt. You said 3 fingers, 3 fingers. And then improv went 4 flat karate chop hand inside. And you went, ah, 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 ah.
See, I have to tell you something. I wish that that were true, but improv never tried to take it too far with me. I said I was ready for something that I wasn't. Just stepping outside of this, do you remember early sexual experiences?
I know what you're about to say.
What did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to bring up a specific improv group that we were in for like 2 seconds.
No, I'm sort of floating away from the improv.
Well, we got to float away from it.
But you can see Bowen do improv with Josh and Aaron Next month.
March 18th at the Bell House. We're doing two shows. They're both sold out, but come. There should be a standby experience.
Stay in line. If you're in line for Bowen Yang and Josh and Aaron, stay in line. If you get in line now, they will let you in. That would be pathetic if they didn't.
What were you going to say?
Sexually, like, you remember like being like 18, 19 years old, like whatever it was that you had your first sexual experiences. I'm assuming that it was around that time, right? Same as me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just remember being like, yeah, put it in.
Yeah.
Like without knowing what the fuck that was going to feel like. And then feeling what that felt like the first time. And you're like, I remember the screaming I did like a little banshee. It should be so much easier than it is.
There is just to, at least in the time that we were growing up, just too many unknowns, too much. There is this YouTuber now who, God bless him.
I hope he does what I think he does, which is like teaches people how to have anal sex.
He teaches. Okay, it's the Bottoms Digest. It's a YouTube channel called The Bottoms Digest. It's this wonderful person.
It's a double entendre.
Right. It's very fun, right? Very clever. And he just like does these great videos about like how to wash your douche bulbs, like how to avoid hemorrhoids, like how to take big dicks. Like, and it's really educational and informed. And I can't seem to find his name, but he's this really wonderful person. And every video he's like, how could you possibly have known this?
Yeah.
The education on this is non-existent. Don't feel bad about not knowing this. I'm going to tell you. And like, this is exactly what like any kind of queer sex is. It was specifically like anal sex with a penis. Like, it's not that it's like wrong or bad or crazy. It's just that like, we don't know how to go about it.
Yeah. You need instructions on how to do it at all, do it successfully, do it enjoyably. You know what I mean? Like, there needs to be a roadmap when it comes to this type of thing. And I remember, like, when I was first having sex or trying to have sex, I felt like I made, like, two or three attempts. And because it was so painful and I just couldn't see, like, a path forward to me enjoying it, I kind of just stopped.
Oh. That's awful.
I kind of just stopped trying. And I, you know, I make a joke now, like, I used to frot all around New York City, but I really was humping the everything in sight. I was the frot king because, you know, I was sort of a side icon. I was just like, you could not put it in me. You could not do it. And it's a shame because
those were our prime years.
Those were our prime years, enough or nothing. I'm proud of what I have now. But I had like a rockin' like huge like twink ass when I was like in my early 20s that I really wish I could have blown the city away with.
I don't think it went anywhere. I think you can still Godzilla.
Why are you looking at my butt?
Stop now. I'm not looking.
Oh,
I'm saying.
Oh my God, this is too much.
You want to blow through the city? I think that ass can still, Godzilla can still
Bowen,
do some damage.
You can't look at my butt. It's not for you. No. Hands off.
It's for society.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. Bowen, we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! We're all going together, the Lost Cult family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for what you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Can I just quickly, I just want to share this. I really wanted to share this on the podcast.
Okay.
I was really lucky to be asked to be part of this benefit concert that Philip Glass does every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really special every year. He has on these wonderful musical performances that support Tibet House US. And it's just all about like anti-war and pacifism. And it's all about just like coming together. It's all these things that like I've gotten so jaded on. But just with the way that news has been lately, I forgot that like this was always there, that this is like a network that has existed and is trying to like make things good in a very humanist way. And Joan Baez was there.
Yeah, you got a picture with Joan Baez.
I just got to dance backstage with her. I got to talk to her. I just got to like soak in her energy. She is 83 years old. She has a vibrancy and a youthfulness and just the energy is incredible. This woman is like so just completely sharp and serene and so like alive and is just like cracking jokes with me. And like she just, this woman is in her damn 30s, it seems, like energetically. Not that like the number really matters, but like this is someone who has seen a lot of life and a lot of tragedy and a lot of hardship and has seen her friends get arrested for like protesting wars and has seen MLK like up close and personal and has like had to suffer through that loss and just these different movements kind of coming and going. But she has been so steadfast and unwavering in all of them. And she is an incredible musician on top of that. And, you know, it was her, it was Laurie Anderson, who is this like legendary performance artist, basically like invented the vocoder, as far as I'm concerned. Not really, but like her and that French guy. Anyway, but it was Laurie running this with Philip. Maggie Rogers was there.
I saw
Maya Hawke, Christian Lee Hudson. Just an incredible energy of just amazing artists. And then Philip Glass himself showed up, just like taking it all in. He doesn't play the piano anymore, but I think he still just like understands that like he created this thing, that his work stands for this. And Hal Wilner used to read Allen Ginsberg poetry. They've had like Colbert read it, like Keanu Reeves read it, all these random people, now me among them, random guys reading this Allen Ginsberg poem. And it's Carnegie Hall at Stern Auditorium. It was really special. It was a night I'll never forget. And it came off of the heels of like a really weird couple months at work, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very life affirming in a way that I needed.
Yeah, it sounds very fortifying. Yeah, that's really, really, really nice. I'm so happy you got to have that experience. And like, that is, it's really important, I think, in like such a cynical time.
I'm incredible. Yes.
To be around people that are still pushing forward and still singing the same song, as it were, that they have been for decades, which is, you know, one of peace. And, you know, that actually there's like a group of people, which is the focus is the positive and how to move forward and how to move out of a time of violence and anger. And it's just really beautiful.
We all literally sang the same song that they have been for decades, which was, we all sang We Shall Overcome at the end. Joan Baez, like, leading the audience of thousands to sing We Shall Overcome. And I was like, I can't believe, and I like thanked her afterwards. I was like, I never thought that would happen. I'm so honored, blah, 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 blah. And then Joan says this thing now where, like, I think she was on Colbert the past year, where Colbert was asking her, like, what do you make of things happening now? Like, how do we get through this time? And she's like, you know, like, everyone now says, oh, I wish I could have been part of the 60s or all these different movements, because you guys had all the music and the politics were, you know, very specific and tense, and it all paired together nicely with that. But she goes, what we had back then was the glue, and what we're missing now is the glue, the sense that we can all do this thing together. And I don't think we have that. And I think, but for a fleeting moment, you can see it sort of like within reach on a night like last night. And it was just a huge honor. So I was very grateful to be a part of that. I mean, Joan Baez is finalist, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking to myself, like, what if she was like, by the way, I identify as a finalist. I used to like your podcast, but I don't like it anymore.
You guys are too filtered now.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking, like, her talking about, like, you know, there used to be like an assurance in the 60s that there was this glue, and, you know, wondering if we still have it now. I think we do have it now, in that, like, you guys could all gather at that event last night and, like, have such a almost unspoken common purpose, and you really all know why you're there. I think that that is still there, like it's always been there. There are people that want to see change and positive change. But I do think that there are so many pockets of distraction now, and so many ways in which we can get discouraged because of the internet and because of the way that media thrives now, which is in that push and pull between pessimism and optimism, between, like, I guess, like, conservative and progressive. It just feels like there's so much tug of war going on that it can feel really distracting. But I think even the fact that you guys were able to gather last night, and we still can, like, think about, you know, the hope that we felt, you know, generation to generation, when it comes to these songs, when it comes to these people, when it comes to these ideas, that obviously, like, you can't leave a night last night and think, well, hope is lost, because you literally were a part of it in the moment. And I think that's the one thing that maybe is something to pull from that, is to not get distracted, because there are like-minded people with the goal of peace. And that is going to be something I think that's really important to hold dear and remember as we move forward into, you know, potential darker times and darker months, which I've really, as of late, I feel like I've been trying to wrap my head around the fact that they might, you know, rear their ugly head again.
Yeah, I think I really want to move forward with that mindset. And also quickly want to talk about,
say it,
a big video game release.
Oh, yes. I thought you were going to mention something else, but this, I know this is huge culture.
What did you think I was going to say?
I just wanted to say shout out to Aidy Bryant for her Independent Spirits Awards hosting. Oh! That was so good. When you said to Natalie Borman that you were going to start roasting the crowd, hey, Natalie, you stupid bitch.
Immediately.
Was so good.
Something in that moment, something like healed in the culture.
Yeah, because we saw an award show hosted by a funny person.
With the help of funny people, Sudie Green, Fran Gillespie, Peach Schultz, yes. Josh Patton, Celeste.
You already know the cast and crew.
I mean, that is the job done perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, the later bits were great, too. They did, like, a Q&A thing. Was that in the top bit, or was that later on?
I may have only seen the monologue.
Oh, they did a whole, like, host. They're like, you know, so, like, a lot of you guys are indie filmmakers. You guys understand a weird part of promoting your film or screening your film is the audience Q&A after. So let's just do some of that. And then it was, like, different people coming up. And then Farrell at the end, our boss, no less.
Our boss. My boss twice now.
Your boss twice.
Farrell coming up and being like, Adie, I love the swag bags for this show. Look at this. And he brings up like a giant purse and he's like, I've got like little mints. I've got like some used contact lenses. I've got like someone's sunglasses. And she's like, no, that's my purse, Will. And, like, it's just like very stupid.
That's my purse.
It's very funny.
That is dumb.
Adie, good job.
Bring back dumb. Bring back comedy.
Comedy.
Yeah, she was great. But talk about your big video game release, because I know this one has been tickling your fancy.
Well, we connected over this on FaceTime the other day.
We did.
Of Lauren Allred.
Yes.
Who has been slaying America's Got Talent, I guess?
So this is the backstory. So Lauren Allred is the singer of Never Enough. The gays know this because this became like
a moment.
A whole moment. You may have danced to the club version, or you may just have gotten wrapped up in the power of Never Enough from The Greatest Showman, the film, which I know I certainly did when I saw this movie years ago with Sudie Green. We were so high in Times Square Regal watching Greatest Showman, and Never Enough was happening. And I turned to Sudie and I was like, this is the best song of all time. And she was like, you are so stupid.
You might have also familiarized yourself with the club remix of this song that was playing when two circuit queens were fighting each other in Mykonos, I think in 2015, 16.
This song has a place in the culture, and stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Because it might be a nominee for Record of the Year.
Ah! Are you serious? We have not discussed this. Oh my God, you are crazy.
The cat might have gotten out of the bag there, but it might be a front runner for Record of the Year. That and Single Soon.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sorry. And I said 2015, 2016. Greatest Showman came out 2017. So I just want to correct that.
That year. We're not sure as long as time ago or not.
You are nuts. Okay.
I'm nuts for that one, girl. But what I'm saying is that this song was sung by Lauren Allred. So now, flash forward years later, she never really gets the credit because Rebecca Ferguson lip synced for her life in the film.
And she did make it seem like she sang it.
Rebecca Ferguson, great actor. And I had no qualms about that lip sync performance because it was from the heart. It seemed like Mama was the singer.
And she was in that gorgeous dress, that gown.
No notes. But she was not singing like the rest of the cast. Lauren Allred was singing years past. Now she's on America's Got Talent, slaying, like best singer alive vibes. And then I bring this to the attention of my sister, and he says to me this information.
That she sings the new Final Fantasy VII Rebirth theme song that Aerith sings when, I guess, she is in a very Greatest Showman-like setup, like Never Enough setup, where she's just kind of on a stage in a white dress, like belting her tits off.
Mm. How's the song?
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Final Fantasy has a very queer / gay circuit girl / LA fag, West Hollywood / Chelsea Hell's Kitchen sensibility when it comes to, we've talked about this before, how Leona Lewis sang the song for Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
And Faye Wong did Final Fantasy 8. That's a pretty gay girl or girl for the gays. And it's just a pretty queer, I think they've really leaned in, maybe they've always known, maybe I'm just kind of catching up to this like very intentional thing that this very weird, kooky video game series has like stuck to for many decades now.
Final Fantasy and James Cameron have always known what the faggots want. And that's actually Ruler Culture number 49. Final Fantasy and James Cameron have always known what the faggots want.
Leona Lewis in both of those franchises? Oh my God.
All I'm saying is Leona Lewis, the only thing that was wrong with I see you is that she wasn't blue while she was singing it. She should have been an avatar like walking through a dream. A song I know every word to. She should have been blue as hell. Then it would have been better.
She should have been blue as hell.
Does Lauren Allred appear in the video game singing it?
She does not appear in the video game singing it. The Rebecca Ferguson in this is many, many people's first girlfriends, Aerith Gainsborough. So she is this Matt. Oh my God, you would be obsessed with Era. She is the last of the ancients.
What? Come again?
So basically, I just want to quickly summarize Final Fantasy VII for people who aren't aware. This game comes out in 1997, okay? Just think about that.
Big year. Big cultural year.
Huge cultural year. But the game basically takes place in like a dystopian cyberpunk fantasy world. You start off in a city called Midgar.
Oh.
And it is run by a corporate. The government is the corporation, is this like fascist
1984 vibes.
Well, it's they're called Shinra and they're an electricity company. And what they do is they take energy from the planet. They basically suck the life force from the planet into Mako energy. And that's how they make their money. And that's how they run things. And
fracking.
Well, it's destroying. It's fracking. It's oil. It's all of these things. It's like sucking the life out of the planet. And you play Cloud Strife, a mercenary who is working with an eco-terrorist organization called Avalanche. It makes a case for like eco-terrorism being the only way forward. But Final Fantasy VII was doing this in 97.
Yeah.
Where you basically play this mercenary, and then after you blow up one of the reactors, you meet Aerith, this girl who is the last of the ancients. She sells flowers in the street.
What?
She lives in an abandoned church.
Who plays her in a movie?
Here are the people who have played her so far.
Okay.
You're going to fucking lose your mind.
I can't wait to.
The girl who's playing her now is a wonderful voice actor. But in Kingdom Hearts, when they first gave voice to these people, Aerith was voiced. In Kingdom Hearts 2, she's voiced by Mina Suvari.
Gag.
Terribly, I might add. I'm sorry, Mina Suvari, we love you, but you were not a good Aerith, okay? I just have to say that. But Kingdom Hearts 1, and this was the perfect voice acting, and I do want to ask her about this when she's on the pod, Mandy Moore.
You better shut the fuck up.
Mandy Moore was
I was going to say Aerith. That as a joke.
No, it was her. Look up Kingdom Hearts 1, Mandy Moore, Aerith.
Why didn't she return? We have to ask her.
I don't know. We have to ask her. But then, so basically she is this like serene, just present. She like heals you back to life, but she's like funny and cute. And she flirts with you, but she's like, don't flirt with me. I have a boyfriend.
You know, the front runner for title of ep for Mandy Moore's episode is The Last of the Ancients.
The Last of the Ancients. Mandy Moore is Aerith. Oh my God. I totally didn't even mention that last week. Like, I caught it. Okay. And then the person who voiced the villain Sephiroth in the original.
I want to be him. Oh my God. Sephiroth?
Sephiroth, Kingdom Hearts 1. Lance Bass.
Whoa. Okay. So it's possible for me.
Absolutely. This is the thing. So Square Enix, Kingdom Hearts is, as you know, Disney and Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy, like casting Hayden Panettiere, Brittany Snow, Jesse. Oh my God. What's that guy's? Oh my God. I love him. I don't want it in the pretty face. I don't want just
Jesse McCartney.
Jesse McCartney plays Roxas. Haley Joel Osment plays Sora. Like the voice cast is stacked and also gay.
Yeah, gay, seems kind of gay.
Matt, I think Kingdom Hearts is a perfect way in for you for video games.
Can I do it on my Switch?
Yes.
You got me a Switch.
I got you a Switch, but I think, I don't know, there's something there. It's Disney and it's all these fucking gay actors.
All right.
Gay as in like they appeal to a certain audience.
Now, yeah, like you said the words Mina Suvari and I had no other questions.
David Boreanaz. Anyway.
Oh, right. Yeah, for sure. Oh,
for
David
sure.
Boreanaz, wow.
What a
He was a hunky hottie, huh?
Yeah, hunky hottie.
Is Chad Michael Murray in the game?
He is not. He is not,
I
but
wish.
Who else is in the game? Hold on. Kingdom Hearts voice cast. There are some true slays. David Gallagher, Cal in Titanic, plays Ansem, the villain in the first game. Willa Holland from the OC.
Oh,
plays
wow.
Aqua. She as Willa Holland slays in Kingdom Hearts 3 as Aqua. Oh my God.
You know what teen actor I have questions about where he is? Where is Simon from Seventh Heaven?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, no. I'm sorry. David Gallagher, they just had the wrong headshot on Google. David Gallagher is Riku. That's Simon from Seventh Heaven, right?
Wait, is that true?
Billy Zane is Ansem, and he's Cal from Titanic. That's what I meant. Sorry, I got my headshots mixed up.
But oh David my God, Gallagher, yes, Simon Camden was played by David Gallagher.
And David Gallagher is Riku, like the main, your rival in Kingdom Hearts. Matt, like this game is made for you. It's
Wait,
Disney.
Is there anyone in the culture from back then that's more Matt coded than David Gallagher?
No.
I'm going to send you a picture of his Wikipedia photo. Tell me this is not me if I'm famous and in 2003. Just literally, I'm sending this to you right now.
Okay. I shudder to think about what I would have looked like, the vibe I would have given off if I was famous in 2003.
Just take a look at that shudder. And tell me that is not me. I just sent it to you. It probably went through.
Oh my God, that is so you. Look at his piecey, broken bang with the beanie. So handsome.
I loved him. I used to have such a crush on him when I was like little.
Oh my God, he was such a heartthrob. Absolutely.
What's he doing now? Is he still acting? Well, he was in an episode of SWAT in 2020.
They're making a Kingdom Hearts 4.
Whoa, he's in all the Kingdom Heartses.
He's like a huge fucking...
He is Riku.
You're going to jerk off to Riku if you play this game. Yeah.
Because
Riku like starts off like as this like, you know, tough kid and kind of like bullies you. But then he ages well. Sora doesn't really age well. The main character, Sora, played by Haley Joel Osment, iconic character, doesn't really grow up. But Riku has to grow the fuck up because he gets possessed by some darkness.
Whoa.
Maleficent captures him. And corrupts his mind.
You're kidding. I might have to get into this. Because I might see myself in Riku.
You are Riku. Sometimes, this is a Glinda Elphaba situation where it's like, you and I are both Riku and Sora, but it flips. It switches every now and then. You are Sora down on a lot of days. I am Riku down a lot of days. But sometimes we trade those off. You know what I mean?
Should title that be Sora and Riku?
Yes! Oh my God, Matt, you don't know what's about to come your way. The Readers, Katie's Publicist, Finalists who love Kingdom Hearts are out there.
I believe that they are.
And they will be reaching out to you.
If you could do one other podcast about your niche interest, what would it be?
Final Fantasy.
It would be Final Fantasy?
Including Kingdom Hearts, including Dragon Quest, like these video games, Persona, like these are video games that are queer coded and have been since the dawn of time immemorial.
Yeah.
Anyway, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, it's like the most money Square's ever put out in a game. It's like basically like making a meta commentary on like fan culture and reboot culture too.
Mm.
In the cleverest way. Like it's within the story that like there's this force called the Whispers and you kill them off in the first game and then the timeline starts to diverge and then it becomes like they're telling the story in a way that has been told before. So you kill them off and it's like killing off the fan base voice that says things should be a certain way. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah. Why haven't they done more like
movies
of this? Like it feels like
they have and they're all pretty bad.
Why do you think that is?
Because the people who produce and direct and write the movies are the people who produce and direct and write the video games. And it's just a different medium. Like they're able to, they don't have a sense of the pacing and of the way story is told. Like video games, you kind of like, I would say it's kind of harder in video games to like unfurl a narrative because so much of it is about the player's control and how they choose to end up hitting certain beats. And some of the games are very linear and some of them are more open-ended. Zelda, for example, the recent ones that I've talked about have been open world where it's not linear at all. And it's very hard to tell a story that way because you can't quite get the player to land at certain places as the story is told. But I think the movies are really rough and I wouldn't watch those. Don't pay those much attention.
So do you think that when the worlds are more expansive and more open, that's just a much more difficult adaptation than something like The Last of Us, which follows a storyline?
Yes. And I'm literally playing The Last of Us again right now. I never beat the first one, sorry to admit. So I'm finally like, I want to beat it. I'm really loving it. And that is a linear game. Like, you are on a track because you're running away from these fucking mushroom zombies.
Right.
And it's kind of, that's the brilliant thing about The Last of Us is that it's sort of built in. It's cinematic because the story is completely on the rails in a way that doesn't make the player feel like they're just clicking buttons to read a story.
So in a way that's less interesting because there's less to discover, but it could be more compelling if the story they're telling is that compelling.
Yes, and it is
and
incredibly compelling.
It happens to be extremely compelling. By the way, congrats to Pedro.
Congrats to Pedro.
On the SAG lead win, I realized something about Pedro Pascal. If I am ever having a hard time or a bad day, or if I'm ever doing something I think is hard, I can just think of Pedro Pascal smiling and laughing, and it will make me feel better.
Oh, I know. I know. That's a really important smile and an important laugh.
Yeah, I feel like he carries the light And it's less about him being like super fucking hot or super fucking talented. It's just, I enjoy him.
No, he's a nice person.
I like his presence a lot. Yeah. I liked watching him win. I liked watching him be so, you know, befuddled in his win. I liked watching him backstage. Like, I just like him. Like, I don't know what it is beyond that. I just really enjoy him as a celebrity presence.
He's very winning.
Yeah, and I like that he seems to be really comfortable with himself. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll say about it, is that, like, he wins this award, he seems, like, really genuine, and then he's backstage doing his thing, and I just think he's emblematic of, like, people having to be less of a platonic ideal of what a leading man is and acts like,
right.
And I'll leave it there, because I don't know what's cool to say, but, like, I just really appreciate and admire him.
Yeah. Oh, and he's also a perfect model for, like, there is no right way to go about a career in something that is so uncertain as, like, acting or Hollywood or whatever. You know, it's like, his big breaks were, like,
late. No guarantees. And you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that's also part of it. Is I'm just like, that's someone who really fucking hung in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because even, I guess, I don't know, like, when did things really start turning around for him? Like, probably, I guess, like, 10 years ago, Game of Thrones, whatever it was.
Game of Thrones,
like,
yeah.
Before that, like, he probably could not even get people to even, like, perk up at the sound of his name. You know what I mean? Like, he was not what he is now really recently. Mm-hmm. And then it feels like it's that one thing that changes the other thing that changes the other thing. But apparently it was, like, the Sarah Paulson and him saga.
It was NYU days.
Goes way back, and I guess she knew the Game of Thrones people and was like, you should definitely see my friend Pedro Pascal for this. And they were like, well, we don't know who that is. And then they, like, kicked around on it for a while, and then he obviously booked Game of Thrones and was, like, so memorable and sexy and great and Game of Thrones that why wouldn't you book him for so many other things? But, you know, it just feels to me like that's someone that really hung in.
Yeah. We gotta hang in, y'all.
And good thing, because he makes our landscape, like, our, like, pop culture landscape, like, so much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he's, yeah, like, such a cool A-list member of the whole thing right now.
Yeah, well, he's one of the few people who, like, gets people really worked up in, like, a pop star way, almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How was he not Sexiest Man Alive? Like, he is the sexiest man alive.
Ay, ay, ay.
Who was it again?
I forget.
Who literally was it?
Affleck?
No. I know that they were, like, behind the times in terms of who they picked, but, like, I don't know if it was Affleck.
Oh, it was Dempsey.
Yeah, that's my thing. Is I'm like,
in the year 2023?
We picked Patrick Dempsey in 2023 when, like, Pedro Pascal is right there. Like, that man is, he's so sexy. He is beyond off the charts.
Ugh, I can't. I can't think about it.
I mean, I get it. It's overwhelming.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hey, Lost Culturistas listeners. We're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gift. gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Now, do you want to talk about the year of this episode, or do you want to wait?
I don't know if I do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I'm just...
It's a big one.
It's a big one, and I feel like you guys just, you know, peek behind the curtain. I'm not feeling that well.
Oh.
I woke up this morning, like, and last night it tried to, like, sneak up on me. It must be some sort of, like, tiny little cold thing going around. Did you say you don't feel good either?
I feel something, too. I woke up... The seasons are changing now, officially, because I'm waking up with, like, eye boogers and shit. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, here we go.
I really had like a park it on the couch. I also like, I've been working out a lot. And so I think my body is just like telling me to like relax a little bit, maybe just because I tend to, the Pisces in me, like the addictive personality roars out sometimes. And when I find something that works for me, like especially something healthy and I feel like positive about, and I do feel like I'm getting results from going every day and working out and stuff, like I tend to push it a little bit hard. So I think my body is just trying to tell me like, hey, remember moderation? Remember we made like a promise that things would be about moderation this year. It wouldn't be about extremes. Like that's something I'm really trying to hold to throughout this year, is like not dealing with things in extremes so much, just trying to be, you know, more intentional about like, it's not like know this or you have to do this. It's like, try to do this, try to do that. Like get yourself in a healthy place with it.
That's very good.
So I'm trying to slow down right now and just listen to my body, but I had like a park it and watch movies moment yesterday.
Oh, so jealous.
And I watched a couple of things, one old, one new.
Balance.
But I wanted to tell you, I watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind last night again.
I watched it on Valentine's Day by myself.
I know, and I think the reason why I did that is because you had done that. And I also think I'm, you know, anticipating Ariana's album. What a movie.
That's a really fucking good movie.
Yeah, it's so great. Like,
and like one of those movies that I will say, and I'm sure my knowledge of movies is not expansive enough, but it's like, it's one of those movies that's like, anyone can be like, that's my favorite movie, and no one can really poke a hole in that. It's like, oh, it's like a Charlie Kaufman, like, Gondry film, but it's also like, it has mass appeal, it's telling this amazing story, very elegantly conceptualized, but like, funny performances, emotional performances, obviously. Kirsten, oh!
Kirsten rocks, man. Like, she just rocks. Like, she's so good in it. Kate's so good in it. Jim is so good in it. I love Mark Ruffalo so much. Tom Wilkinson, rest in peace. Elijah Wood is
Elijah
so good.
I mean, so good in it.
He's so good. He's so cute. Like, and also Mark Ruffalo in any era, I'm just a total super fan.
That was a cute era for him.
So cute.
Deirdre O'Connell, by the way, plays the wife who shows up.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's a really good performance, too.
You can have him. You already did.
You did.
Yeah.
Don't be a monster. Tell the girl.
Oh, so good. Deirdre O'Connell. Tony legend, Deirdre O'Connell. I saw her in that play. Anyway, go on.
What play?
She was in Dana H, and she won a Tony for that. And can I just brag real quick?
Sure.
So Celeste took me to go see Celestium, friend of the pod, guest, one of our best friends, took me to see this play that Lucas Nath wrote. And it's Deirdre O'Connell sitting on stage, basically lip syncing tapes of Lucas's mother. This like really crazy incident that happened to Lucas's mother, where she was basically in Florida and was kidnapped and kind of like does an interview about it, and just like it was recorded, and it's Deirdre O'Connell lip syncing the entire interview basically. And she won a Tony for it. She was amazing. And they were trying to talk Deirdre into doing it, and she was like, no, I don't know. The lip syncing thing sounds like such a weird gimmick. Like, that doesn't sound like anything to me. And I have on good authority that the producers showed Dana videos of me lip syncing. And then she was like,
it can be art.
I'm going to do it. Well, she literally was like, okay, I'm seeing this person do it in a way that is like a funny, of course, and like jokey and gimmicky, but like there is a way to be so precise about this. I'm not saying whatever. She was like, there's a way to be precise enough about this to make it, to elevate the material. Let's do it.
How much percent of her Tony? How much percent of her Tony do you want?
Zero. Zero.
15%, I say.
I'm not saying that I take any credit. I'm saying that one of my greatest accomplishments is doing something that ever even showed up in front of Deirdre O'Connell's eyes. That's all. And anyway, this is all to say Eternal Sunshine. Okay, and then what was the new thing?
I watched Naiad, and I have to tell you, it's so much better than I thought it was going to be. Like,
okay, good. Then I'll watch it too.
I really like. There had been months ago, there had been this goofy clip of Naiad where they're playing table tennis. And Annette and Jody were so bizarre in this clip. And out of context, it was so, it didn't seem good.
Okay.
So I was kind of like, no way. And then when I kind of in my mind had like solidified on what I thought were going to be like the Oscar contenders and stuff, and then Annette and Jody really stuck in there, I was like, angsty about it. Then I finally watched the movie. I loved this movie. Like, I think it's obviously, you know, the best thing about it are the two of their performances, but really winning sports movie. Like, it's kind of a classic story of just determination and everyone telling you you can't do something and you being a very specific type of person, because she was not really a nice person.
Right.
She was not necessarily like someone you root for. Like, she was very one-track minded, and I would say like the movie really needs Jodie Foster to like take some of the edge off.
Yeah.
But their performances are great. Jodie is so great in this, and Annette Bent, for some reason I thought like if Annette had won for this, it would feel like a light win, or like it would feel like
a career Oscar or something.
Yeah, like we were just tossing her a bone. It wouldn't feel like that at all. Like,
really,
it is really hard to play physical brutality, like in terms of like when your body is going through something and your body has to fight against elements and you're literally like your interior is taking over in a way that is really hard to act.
Oh,
it's one of the reasons why I'm such a huge fan of Sandra Bullock's Gravity performance, is because she was playing so much of the physical reality of what it means to be suffering or fighting for your life in that way. And a lot of that is here in this Annette Bening Naiad performance. Like, the elements wearing away at her in the water. There's no question when you're watching it that she's actually going through this. I mean, it had to be a wild shoot. She's in the water a lot. You know, it doesn't appear to be very CGI-ish. It appears like she's doing a lot of practical work here. And by the end, when she's gone through her like fifth attempt at doing this Cuba to Florida Keys swim, which really like it's if she did actually do it, and there is some dispute whether or not she actually by the book, by the rules, in terms of what they say is an actual achievement here and of the swim, like did it 10 out of 10, 100% above board. But like this story of determination, like is one thing, and it would be a winning script and winning performance anyway. But what puts it over the edge for me and really makes this nomination worthy is the really just very raw depiction of what it is to be worn away by this physical feat and these elements. There is a jellyfish attack. That is one of the scariest moments in film.
No, I'm not watching.
Bowen, these jellyfish come for Annette in such a way. They need to. We need an Andy Cohen reunion with Annette Bening and the jellyfish.
Center couch,
and Jody's their friend of on the side. Like
no one else.
Anyway, but like this movie was great, and the performance is great, and Jodie's super winning in it. They're just stars, and
yeah,
I feel like I was, you know, poo-pooing these nominations because I didn't know better, and I saw the movie. And
well, you listen to the voices, you listen to the punditry of it all.
It wasn't even that. It's just with the Oscars, you guys. I know I sound nasal today. I'm really sorry. I don't like listening to people's voices when they're sick and doing a podcast. Oh. I apologize. I don't like the way I sound right now. But what I'm saying is, I think that I really don't like it when it feels like we're just throwing an Oscar at someone because we feel bad.
And it doesn't feel like that.
And this is not that at all. It just is not that at all. Like, great. It's worth a watch, even if some part of the movie is like a little bit goofy. It's a little bit of a goofy story.
Oh,
like,
whatever. Goofy is good.
Like her getting attacked by jellyfish on her attempts to cross the sea.
That might
was
have
a
happened.
Real thing that happened. It did. It did. And she had to be like resuscitated and like all these things.
So then
and, like,
it's not goofy.
No, but it's goofy because it's Annette Bening versus a jellyfish in the water. You know what I mean?
No,
it's
like, that's power line. That's power line.
She plays this mean lesbian who's like, I'm getting back in the water. And then the jellyfish takes her out and she's like, oh! And then they're like, get back. And Jody's like so gay in it. So she's like, get her up here. Come on. And then they're like resuscitating her. She's like, Jesus Christ, let my friend live already. And then Annette's like, I'm going back in the water, babe. And she's like, oh, Jesus. And it's just these two lesbians going back and forth.
That's
like
you and me.
Honestly, in many ways, I don't know who's Nyad and who's Jody, although you're Nyad and I'm Jody. Let's be real. I'm the coach.
No, you're Nyad. I mean, can you believe this bitch's name was Diana Nyad?
A nymph of the sea.
That's a palindrome of a name. The A is the center letter. Diane Nyad. Diana Nyad. It's the same spelled backwards. Do you know what I mean?
It's 100% something that I know what you mean.
Oh my God. Thank you.
I do.
So should we move on to I Don't Think So, Honey?
Yeah. Can you explain I Don't Think So, Honey while I blow my nose?
Yes. I Don't Think So, Honey is our segment where we each take 1 minute to rail against something in the culture. I mean, I think I have an idea of what Matt's might be. He is really having a rough time with this congestion. And it's almost March, you know? It's like, I thought we were done with this.
So did I, sister. I have a feeling this is going to be like a 24, 48 hour thing. I think this is not going to be a big deal.
Great. I'm happy for you.
But I do have something.
Okay. Makes one of us.
Oh, God.
This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the Wendy Williams documentary.
Oh,
my
God.
I really feel like this is not the move. And the family being like, she's an executive producer on this. So,
no.
You know, that's above board. It's like, guys, she is by definition not in her right mind. And these, you know, stories coming out now about her having like dementia and like, you know, these, like, this has been, obviously been something wrong with her for a while, way before you decided to do this documentary. And now what you have is you have her devolving on television and you're out here promoting it. You didn't even see the result of what you had put together here and say, guys, you know what? We have to really work to make sure we're protecting her. No, you saw the product that you had and then continued to promote it for your own gain. And I'm sorry, but anytime you have something that's in the entertainment industry and promoted this way, you are doing it so people watch it and so you gain from it. I don't think you protected her here. There's a reason we haven't seen Bruce Willis. There's a reason we didn't see Barbara Walters. It's because when you put someone out there like this at the end of their life, this becomes their legacy, and shame on you for doing that to your family member. I don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute, 100%. I think that the family member who's gotten a lot of screen time is, I think, the niece.
The niece.
And there's something so dark there because I think she's also a journalist or something.
There's something off about the whole thing, and I don't think there's any position that these people could have that justified what exactly is going on here.
None,
because unfortunately,
none.
Now what you have is you have someone who's very sick with dementia and potentially other things on television, not acting like themselves. You know, she's saying things that are very offensive, very dark, very nasty, and she looks unwell. and you got a camera in her face.
It's aphasia. It's like she can't even register communication or even express it in the way she wants to. It's brain damage. It's literally brain damage. Like, she's not okay.
It's exploitation. And I remember when we did our first culture awards, right? Like, Wendy Williams was like a leader in the nominations because... Yes.
There were moments. There were just so many moments.
You know, she's iconic and she's done so much in the culture and she always provided like something to talk about. But then when it became clear that something was really wrong.
Yes. And when it was clear, it was clear.
You take a step back and you have some respect. And the fact that this is coming from her family and these photographs of her, I don't care what awareness you think you are bringing. You know, the way you bring awareness to an issue like this, you say our beloved family member and pop culture icon, Wendy Williams, is dealing with these issues. If you or someone you know are dealing with these issues, you're not alone. We are dealing with it. Here are resources. Here are, you know, places you can donate. Here are positive memories of our family member. Not we documented what the reality is and are putting it out there. Don't worry, she's okay with it. She doesn't have the wherewithal to be okay with it. And at this point, it's like a catch-22 too, because then it's like, if you weigh in on something like this, it's like, oh, trust the family. They know what's best. We don't fucking know that.
No way.
If this is what's best for Wendy Williams, then I really am adrift out here, because it seems like the best thing for her would be to focus on her treatment and to give her privacy. Because we did not need this to understand the reality that she was in trouble or a picture of what this type of mental illness looks like. We did not need it.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.
Bella Yang, Gavin, I don't think so. I need to share with us.
I think so.
Well, that's good. are you ready?
Yes, yes.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey as time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey, Normani with this dopamine release. Like, I love this album. I love this title already. You can't make us wait longer. What do you mean, what's another, like, 2-3 months? I want this now. You should have dropped this on us and we would have, there would have been no notes. That would have been a perfect release strategy because we love you. You're able to coast on this
30 seconds
goodwill that we've built up over the years. But I think this is kind of a middle finger to us. And maybe we deserve it because we have been hard on you. But also, you haven't delivered on what you promised would be coming for such a long time. Again, I actually love Normani. I love
seconds.
Normani here. But I'm like, just put out the whole thing. I do love this cover, though, where she's riding this fucking rocket. Tough imagery. Tough
Five
imagery
seconds.
Today, but she looks good. And if I stop thinking about current events, then I guess it's a slay. But just drop the album. Why make us wait longer?
That's 1 minute. Well, I think if one thing is clear about Normani, it's that it's not up to her.
I
think
know.
If one thing is very clear about Normani over the past
five, six years,
it's that it ain't up to her. This to me feels like another story of talented artist and
of course,
label or a situation where they can't figure out exactly what the rollout is or can't seem to get the material together or get their ducks in a row to actually put out music and have her
and
fans like
this artist. Yeah.
And I've never understood why that seems to happen. It must be some sort of bureaucratic, like political thing, because I've never understood why if you have a huge single like Motivation or a huge artist or like someone with a platform already or who already has like a huge like way in for an audience, like why you wouldn't just like put an album together, even if it wasn't like, you know, I get that people are really want to create the best body of work possible, but like, I find it really hard to believe that you couldn't find 11 or 12 songs like Motivation that could fill that sonic landscape and create an introductory album for Normani, which makes me feel like it has to be more than that. There's got to be something else going on. Ultimately, with what we've landed on here, I do like the album title a lot. I like the images a lot. I think now, unfortunately, what she's up against is the fact that, like,
the expectation is so high.
We have been waiting so long. The expectation is so high. Whatever song comes out now has to hit hard.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'll have all been for naught.
That's like the corner they've painted her into. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we got this one song. We have this one group that she was a part of. We know she's capable of a lot, but that almost feels like, you know what I'm saying? It's like if Beyonce dropped the Renaissance visuals now, I'd be like, okay, hon, well, we're on to your new thing now.
We still might get it, though.
Maybe. But I'm looking forward. I mean, Normani's fucking good.
No, she's amazing. She's amazing. That was just the I Don't Think So that I pulled out of my big ass.
No, but I'm happy you brought it up because I did want to talk about it. Because when I saw that she actually was releasing the album and then it was like the date and it's like she's playing games with us with the date. I'm like, yeah. I'll give her 2 weeks of these games.
Oh, yeah, no. I see the games, like the labels, like she, I know it's not up to her, but she does have some power here to push back and be like, let's do this way. I feel strongly.
I don't think she has any power. Oh, I really don't think she has any power. I think unless they were like actually to leak something or like really forcibly take it away, this cannot be the way she wanted it to go. And I also don't think she's necessarily like jazzed about like announcing amidst every other pop girl.
Right.
Like,
it's a packed year.
What is going on with Gaga right now? Is she also coming out with something?
I don't know. No, I think she's just in the studio.
Because the behavior on Instagram has been a little sus.
I think she's just having fun. I think
she's just having fun in the studio.
I think she's getting back to herself. I really do. I think she was like, let me do this Fortnite thing. Get the girls riled up.
I think she's just getting back to herself.
But this is what Gaga always has been, which is like, let me sow the seeds of confusion in the funnest way. In a way that's actually ultimately harmless. Like she can do all of her like pharmaceutical commercials and her like Oreos. Like this is Gaga.
You're right.
it's supposed to be chaotic, but fine in the end.
Yeah.
This is why we love her.
I love
fucking delusion.
The perfect illusion. Justice for that one. And since you brought up John Wayne a couple weeks ago, I have been listening to it nonstop.
It's so good. And that video.
Woo. Jared said that should have been the single, and I was like, maybe. I kind of think Perfect Illusion was the right single. I like Perfect Illusion.
Hold on. Let me just look at the Joanne track one more time. It's so gaga.
It's so gaga.
I mean,
just out of nowhere. Ah!
She's always done.
She'll just stand there with her mouth open and her eyes wide.
It should have been Angel Down. That should have been the lead single. No, Grisha Girls. I mean, Joanne. Well, you always have to appreciate Joanne for giving us Grisha Girls.
I never have said a negative word about Joanne ever in my life. I think Joanne is one of the great Lady Gaga albums, period.
Period. Go back and look at the tapes. I've never said a bad word about Joanne either.
Look at the tapes. You will find nothing negative from me. You'll only hear my rendition of
"You're giving me a million reasons to let you go." Now, I'm so glad we're going to table this 2013 conversation because there's a lot there. We got to talk about Beyonce self-titled. We got to talk about
God.
Art pop. We got to talk about Miley at the VMAs. I mean, that was a big year. And
this one got away from us, guys, but you have to understand it's because there's a lot there.
There's so much there, and we can't wait to talk about it. But for now, we'll...
Sora and Riku have really killed this episode.
Matt, you please consider Kingdom Hearts in playing it.
I will consider.
I think you would really enjoy.
If I can only figure out this damn contraption.
Sure.
The Switch.
It's for little children, so you should be able to.
We end every episode with a song on that note.
Oh my God, my funny crap. The cartoon. Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of six fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.